Today on Broadway for Monday, January 30th, 2017, I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway Star's James Marino.
James, before we start getting to the news, I'm going to clear the runway and just let you know that today is Lena Hall's birthday.
Like I haven't already sent five presents in violation of my... Anyway.
Happy birthday to Tony winner Lena Hall. We won't mention how old she is, but either way, I hope she has a fantastic day and look forward to another great year of performances from her.
Have I ever told you my theory about Lena Hall and Lisa Goldberg?
I don't believe so. Lisa Goldberg is her publicist, who's a friend of ours. What is your theory?
I'm pretty sure they're the same person.
Lisa posts pictures with Lena. I mean, they could also always do some CGI stuff, but I would find that hard. Yeah, it could be. It could be.
Photoshop. Absolutely. All right. First up, the Broadway revival of M. Butterfly officially announced for Broadway.
Yeah, depending on when you normally listen to Today on Broadway, you might have noticed that we published about 2 hours and 35 minutes late today because we wanted to be amongst the first to share with you that producers have officially confirmed that Tony-winning visionary Julie Taymor will direct a Broadway revival of David Henry Hwang's Tony-winning play M. Butterfly this fall. All of that stuff has been rumored or openly discussed before, but what is new is that Academy Award nominee Clive Owen will return to Broadway in the role of Rene Gallimard, the role created by John Lithgow and that I probably just butchered with my terrible French pronunciation. The play's first Broadway revival will include new material inspired by the real-life love affair that is the basis for the play and that has come to light since the 1988 premiere. M. Butterfly will open on Broadway on October 26th at a Broadway theater to be named later. James, we've talked about these rumors before, and this seems like a fantastic time for this show to come back to Broadway, and Clive Owen is a huge star and a fantastic actor, and this seems like a great part for him to fit into in his return to Broadway.
That is very exciting, but that's why we're publishing late. I thought it's because we were at Lena's birthday party.
I live in Orlando, Florida, so I don't know what you're doing tonight.
All right. Next up, Roundabout announces upcoming off-Broadway season.
Yeah, last night the Roundabout Theater Company announced its 2017-2018 off-Broadway season. They've announced four of the five shows. The fifth will be announced later. We'll talk about that in a minute. But it starts off with The Last Match by Anna Ziegler. The play follows an American tennis star in the U.S. Open and will run from September 28th through December 24th. Next up is Lindsay Ferrantino's Amy and the Orphans, which will play from February 1st through April 22nd. In the play, after their father's death, two unhinged siblings reunite with Amy, their movie-loving sister who has Down syndrome. Third on the list is Skin Tight by Joshua Harmon, which is scheduled to play May 24th through August 26th. The play is described as a scorching examination of beauty, youth, and sex. Reeling from her ex-husband's engagement to a much younger woman, Jodi Isaac turns to her famous fashion designer dad for support. The final play announced yesterday is Too Heavy for Your Pocket by Jura Brian Holder, which will be the first new play of Roundabout's Undergrounds two-play 2017-2018 season. The performance in Roundabout's Black Box Theater will be announced at a later date. One additional Roundabout Underground play and more information about both of these productions will be announced in the future. I don't know exactly when. They didn't say. But, James, some great playwrights, some interesting topics for shows. And correct me if I'm wrong. I didn't go back and look, but it seems to me that these runs – are longer than we're used to seeing off-Broadway and even from Roundabout. I mean, we've got, the first one runs from late September to late December, then early February through late April. It seems to me that even for Roundabout's off-Broadway stuff, this seems to be longer than normal.
Yeah, I'd like to look at that too. It seems like three shows seems to be one short of what I would expect. But I don't know, maybe I'm...
They are doing the two underground shows, which kind of probably packed together makes a fourth show. But when they're running for, 3 months at a time, you really don't have a whole lot of extra spaces to fit a fourth full-length regular show in.
Yeah. You know, there was originally four Skylar sisters, but there's only three of them now, right?
I Who was the fourth one, James?
Lena Skyler.
Oh,
so,
Jesus.
The Skyler sisters are getting super.
Yes, of course they already were super, but on Friday, the NFL, that's the National Football League for those of you who don't follow sports, announced that Philippa Sue, Renee Elise Goldsberry, and Jasmine Cephas Jones, the original Skyler sisters in Hamilton, both off-Broadway and on Broadway, would reunite to sing America the Beautiful during this Sunday's televised pregame show for the Super Bowl. Also performing at the Tony Awards for football will be the halftime headliner Lady Gaga and country music star Luke Bryan, who will be singing the national anthem. So, James, whether or not you like football, and of course, that Venn diagram for our listeners isn't huge, but there are a number of people who let us know that they do like both sports and theater. But either way, there seems to be a little bit of something for everyone during the broadcast, especially when you factor in the commercials.
We'd have to bring up Lisa Goldberg as one of those people in the Venn diagram.
Oh, my Lord. I'm starting to feel like I shouldn't have brought up Lena's birthday.
All right. What's up in the show and casting news?
Well, speaking of Hamilton, yesterday producer Jeffrey Seller announced that beginning with tomorrow's performance, the Tony-winning juggernaut would be doubling the number of tickets available via the Ham for Ham lotto from 23 to 46. As everybody here knows, those lottery tickets are just $10 if you are fortunate enough to win. It's obvious that the show, James, isn't hurting for money, but based on just last week's average ticket price, knowing that that number is fairly fluid and has gone up during its Broadway run, they are giving away nearly $42,000 every week in extra income. So again, they're not hurting for money with tours and sit-down productions going up all over the place. So it's pretty interesting to see that they're going to take that to a fairly healthy number of tickets in a Broadway house, James.
That is really good. And they talked about, did you mention Chicago also? Chicago is also giving away, doubling the number of tickets.
Okay, yeah, I did not realize that. That was both for New York and Chicago. I thought it was just for New York. Very cool.
Yeah. And what else is going on out in the Chicagoland?
Yes, on Friday, the Chicago Tribune reported that Mark Bruni, who directed Beautiful, the Carol King musical on Broadway, will helm the second city tryout of a new musical based on the 1994 Oscar-winning short film Trevor. The film, by Peggy Radsky, is about a gay 13-year-old boy who is obsessed with Diana Ross, who struggles with his homosexuality and prejudice from his friends and family. The show features music by Julianne Wick Davis and a book and lyrics by Dan Collins. No timetable for the production has been announced, but it will be upcoming soon. And then finally in this section, this doesn't really fit into show and casting, but it's close enough, so I figured I'd throw it in. Mm-hmm. Also on Friday, Sycamore Pictures announced the theatrical release of Speech and Debate, which is a film based on the Stephen Karam play of the same name. The film, directed by Dan Harris, will be released in select theaters on iTunes and video on demand on Friday, April 7th, of this year. The film features stage and screen stars including Liam James, Sarah Steele, Austin P. McKenzie, Roger Bart, Janine Garofalo, Wendy McClendon Covey, Cal Penn, Kimberly Williams Paisley, Skylar Astin, and more. And Kristen Chenoweth has recorded an original song for the film as well. And I believe a certain Hamilton composer makes a very small cameo in it as well.
Has there been an announcement of a film version of The Humans?
Not that I'm aware of, no. But, I mean, it is going out on tour. So who knows, maybe if that comes sometimes after the tour ends.
Well, my understanding is the talk around Broadway Con this weekend, I'm not sure if I'm speaking out at school, but I don't think that I am, is that Scott Rudin has greenlit the project, and that there's a film of The Humans coming around.
What does Scott Rudin know about producing feature films?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I wonder if he had to negotiate hard with the Broadway producer of The Humans.
Seriously. No talent, that guy.
All right. Next up, Law and Order, Broadway Unit.
One of the goofier titles I've ever made you say on this. But Friday morning, Forbes reported that production company Starvox Entertainment is suing June Entertainment and Rubicon Falls Entertainment for fraud over allegedly refusing to return deposits after failing to secure big names for Broadway shows, including Gary Oldman, Miley Cyrus, Keira Knightley, Sophia Bush, and Al Pacino. Supposedly, Starbucks had made deposits for castings and then subsequent payments, and were told that various stars had agreed to lead Broadway productions and that contracts had been signed. However, after some investigation, they found out that that wasn't even remotely true. Oldman was, this is the part that's funny, some of it. Oldman was to star in a revival of Sleuth, which was going to start an out-of-town tryout tour in Toronto. Apparently, Miley Cyrus was going to be in Greece. I guess maybe as Sandy. That doesn't make any sense. I think she'd probably be a good Rizzo. But anyway, and Keira Knightley, Sophia Bush, and Al Pacino were going to be in Wait Until Dark. In return, June and Rubicon Falls attest that these claims are completely without merit, saying that they only came to light after Starvox refused to pay funds owed to the companies, along with the performers David Arquette, James Maslow, and other members of the touring production of Sherlock Holmes, that, if you remember, played a very poorly received and cut short tour back in 2015. A June Entertainment spokesperson said, quote, "We look forward to putting these jokers behind us and the courts dropping the case once they find out the truth. Starvox is a joke and its founder, Corey Ross, is a dishonest criminal." Alrighty then. James, we've heard a couple of these stories now in the past few years where people producing shows give money to certain people for getting things done, and then they find out that they're just being taken to the cleaners. Again, this is all alleged and nothing's been proven, but this seems to be something of a developing pattern on Broadway.
I'm not one to be the grammar police, but dishonest criminal? Is redundant, or do you need that modifier?
I guess there is honor amongst thieves, so maybe there are some honest criminals.
I tell you, in essence, what's happened here is that people thought they were paying for access. And as long as access is limited, it will be a commodity. And as long as it's a commodity, it'll be abused. So I unfortunately feel as though this is not the last we're going to hear about this. Oh, look at this. We have a story about access.
Dun, dun. Also on Friday, the Securities and Exchange Commission announced fraud charges against two New York City men accused of running a Ponzi scheme with money raised from investors to fund businesses purportedly created to purchase and resell tickets to such high-demand shows as Adele concerts and, of course, the Broadway musical Hamilton. Joseph Melly and Matthew Harriton allegedly raised, listen to this, James, more than $81 million from at least 125 investors in 13 states to purchase large blocks of tickets that would be resold at a profit to produce high returns for investors. Now, on its face value on that, slimy and underhanded, and there are a bunch of POSs, but nothing illegal there. However, the bulk of investor funds were allegedly used for other undisclosed purposes, namely making Ponzi payments to prior investors using money from new investors. Melly and Harriton allegedly diverted almost $2 million for such personal expenses. Come on, man. As jewelry purchases, private school and camp tuition, and my favorite, casino payments. The SEC's complaint also states that the scheme claimed that there was an agreement between their Ponzi ticket scheme and the producers of Hamilton to purchase 35,000 tickets, and that the investor money was supposedly paying part of that cost with a return on investment promised within 8 months. Unsurprisingly, no such agreement ever existed. So, James, I know everybody wants to try to stop the ticket scalping and the bots and all this stuff, but look, whether it's honest or dishonest criminals or just the free market, they're always going to find ways around whatever laws put in place. So I, like you, unfortunately, I'm afraid that we're going to hear stories like this becoming more and more frequent.
Yeah, I think that we will, especially since it's become so easy to, and there's marketplaces to resell tickets and things like that. We've heard so many horror stories about Hamilton tickets and other very popular shows. I think it's just so easy to pull off these schemes these days. I think mm-hmm. that they were big in the days of the British invasion when Phantom, yep. Les Mis, and Saigon were you know, starting to break that $100 ticket mark, which is a joke now.
Well, in Michael Riedel's book, and I know you guys talked to him on This Week on Broadway last year sometime about it, he had the whole story about, what is it, the ICE funds, where they would just take the tickets out and sell them off and no one would notice because they didn't really, you know, take that close of look at the books, and there was them selling them. So they were selling their own tickets at secondary ticket prices. So this is not new, but you're right, with the explosion of the internet and secondary ticket markets, it's only going to continue from there.
And, you know, that type of business model plays well in professional sports right now. Lots of Major League Baseball teams and football teams resell their own tickets on secondary markets like StubHub for huge markups, as well as, you know, I'm trying to get U2 tickets for my wife, who's a big U2 fan. And it's ridiculous that I can't touch U2 tickets for under $500 a seat.
So basically you're telling me that you still haven't found what you're looking for.
I see what you did there.
Sorry, I had to.
Well, if I don't get anybody, I'll be living on a street with no name. All right, enough of the bad puns. So the Screen Actors Guild Awards are going on, so tell us about that.
Yeah, we're recording just a little over halfway through the Screen Actors Guild Awards. And as always, as we've talked about with the Oscar nominations last week, Broadway folks are doing quite well. I'll just run through some of the ones that have already been announced. There will still be more. There's another 45 minutes or so of the show going on. But in the Outstanding Performance by a Female Actor in a Supporting Role Movie category, Viola Davis won for Fences and gave just an incredible speech. She is an American treasure. We also saw William H. Macy win for Outstanding Performance by a Male Actor in a Comedy Series for Shameless. Bryan Cranston won in the Outstanding Performance by a Male Actor in a TV Movie or Miniseries for All the Way. Sarah Paulson won Outstanding Performance by a Female Actor in a TV Movie or Miniseries for The People vs. O.J. Simpson American Crime Story. There are a few other theater folks that are nominated in different things throughout the nights, so definitely check that out. We'll have a link that will eventually go to all the winners by the time this comes out in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com.
All right. So you were watching social media over this weekend. You know, did you have any thing from BroadwayCon that we should talk about?
The only thing that I wanted to throw in, since I wasn't there, but apparently I mentioned Julie Taymor earlier with the M. Butterfly revival, but apparently in talking about The Lion King and talking a lot about of that cool stuff, apparently she also was asked what movie she would like to adapt for Broadway. And she said her movie musical that features characters inspired by Beatles songs and Beatles music across the universe. She said that one deserves to be on stage. That one is a perfect fit for the stage. So a lot of, you know, millennial fans who love that movie were very excited that Across the Universe could eventually end up on Broadway.
Yeah, that was a big buzz happening out there, and I think that would be great. I liked Across the Universe a lot, and I don't know if I was in the minority with that. I think that other folks that were diehard Beatle fans were not thrilled with it, but I really liked it.
I thought it was fine. I'm a fairly big Beatles fan, so I was okay on that. But I didn't love it, didn't hate it. But James, you actually went to Broadway Con this weekend for a few days. What did you hear? Anything exciting, or do you have anything else coming up that we should know about Broadway Con related?
Well, we talked about the rumor about the Humans film possibly coming up. I saw lots and lots of people at Broadway Con. We're going to try to get some folks on tomorrow to talk a little bit about Broadway Con, if possible. We're still trying to arrange times to record and things like that for tomorrow's show, for Tuesday's show. But I have a dirty little secret to talk about Broadway Wasted, because they were there.
And I saw a lot of their tweets. I'm a big fan. Broad Wasted.
And so, you know, tune in tomorrow and we'll see what we can put together insofar as that goes. But it was a wonderful experience. I don't have any numbers, official numbers, but it seemed like it was a year of growth again, that it was bigger than last year, this being the second year.
And no blizzard.
no blizzard, and the Javits is huge, and I think that they did really well. They did a great job. I think that it went over really well. The marketplace marketplace was huge. I bet you the marketplace quadrupled from last year. So that's also
good to hear.
It's good. You know, if they continue to make money on this, we'll continue to have a Broadway con. So that, I think everybody wins there. All right. Why don't you get us out of here?
All right. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio. And you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt. And subscribe to Something Like a Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And my name is James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thanks for spending some of your Monday with us. Yesterday on This Week on Broadway, we talked to Stephanie J. Block and some stories about falsettos. We also played two cuts from the falsettos cast recording that was just released. So if you haven't heard that, jump into the feed and take a listen to yesterday's show. And we will be back and talk with you tomorrow.